Okay, let's open with prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for getting us here. Lord, when we come flying in and things seem frazzled, I'm just so thankful that you're never frazzled. So I thank you for this precious group of women that you've gathered together. I thank you for Zane in the back helping us and for Betty with all she's been doing. Lord, we just praise you. I pray that you'll be honored tonight. I pray that you'll draw us into deeper intimacy with you through this class. Lord, I can't think of anything more amazing. So that's what we're seeking. And I just pray that you will lead us and guide us. And we just love you so much in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I knew our numbers, you know, everybody's kind of back in their classes for, you know, that they're not in during the summer. So with a smaller group, I pictured us in a small room around the same table, which we may eventually get there, I don't know. And this is fine, too. I don't mind doing this. But wasn't sure I'd even have slides. I, as many of you know, just had a grandson. And honestly, I'm thankful the Lord didn't. If he had given me a glimpse of my life as it is today, I probably would have taken off from teaching. But I'm thankful he didn't, because I don't think I'm supposed to. But even today, they do have some help, which is wonderful, but today they didn't. So, of course, I'm over there. I need to leave by 5 to get myself home in time to throw on a dress. And it took, sometimes it'll take me as much as 30 minutes. So I gave myself an hour. It took me an hour to get home, get my dog out, throw on a dress. You know, I thought, thankfully, it's my dear sisters who don't care what I look like. And then get stuck by the train, which thank y'all for, I'm sure you prayed my way in. Hey, Lord. And the gas light came on while I'm sitting there at the train. And at that point, y'all just almost have to laugh. It's like, okay, Lord, you know what you're doing here. And I have been so, my personality, I don't do well showing up at school without my homework done. I couldn't do that. I'd stay up all night if that's what it took. I know some people do it in the morning, and I can't for the life of it. How do you go to sleep at night knowing it's not totally done? So this has been just a whole new world for me. My life lately, clearly I have no control over my life. I'm getting used to being single. I'm getting used to all these things, but God, I can tell the Lord's using it to teach me and teach me to trust Him. I got to launch a study at Muriel with Muriel's group last night. And I told her, I was so not prepared that I was about to just, you know, I thought, well, if I just get there and there's nothing, I'm just going to sling it over to Muriel. You got it tonight because I got nothing. Yeah. And he came through. He always comes through, and it ended up being the sweetest night. And that's, you know, if I were being lazy and eating bonbons, we'd need an intervention. But when we are doing life with the Lord, walking with Him, and we don't have time to get certain things, He's going to cover that. And so we've got to learn to walk with Him. And so this idea of intimacy with the Lord, and I had put up here a God of intimacy. The name of your study is going to be Rescued for Intimacy. As you know, Let's go ahead and click it, Zane. I can't remember the order now. I usually have the order printed in front of me. My printer wouldn't work yesterday. So the Lord will be with us here. So I'm going to go over the housekeeping stuff, the guidelines that I know some of y'all are so tired of, but I'll try to move kind of quickly. I believe it keeps our group safe and focused on the Lord. So I always say, and here I'm an example, if you can't get here in time, please come. When someone walks in late, it makes my day. I don't think, well, where were you? I think, my goodness, you were running late and you still got here. So tonight that was me. Happened to be running late and still got here. And if you need to leave early, just come on, stay as long as you can, and then scoot on out. If you don't get your homework done, please come anyway. If you've had a week where you can't get to your lessons, you need to be here probably. So never worry about that. And I always put up here, it's usually because I'm usually teaching in the mornings, and I'll just say, you know, whatever, if you're heading to a tennis match or you're coming from one, come on in your tennis skirt, or, you know, just don't worry about clothes. We're not worried about that. But what we do take seriously, obviously, is our reverence for the Lord and His Word. And so, Zane, if you'll go ahead and click that. And I'm say our fellowship time, I'm putting it before we start, like 6:15 to 6:30. And it continues through the study, as y'all know. So if you want to get here early and grab coffee, I don't even know if they still have coffee in the rooms before COVID. We used to get coffee and tea, but if so, grab some and come on in. And we'll try to get started right at 6:30, especially because it is evening, and I want to be done by 8 to get everybody home. So, okay. And then our prayer time in here, because we're a smaller number, we will have, next week, I'm going to pass around a prayer sheet. And if someone has a blank piece of paper and wants to pass around a prayer sheet, go ahead and get one going. What we do then is, we've got our prayer requests, which we'll send out to the group for the so we can pray for each other during the week. But then we won't necessarily pray over those things together unless the Lord spurs us to do that. So we'll spend our prayer time with Him, just praising Him, worshiping Him, making it all about Him, and just see how He leads. So I always love this this book, "We Like Sheep" by Mary Glenn Peebles, and it's like, do you want me to get the shepherd? And we always say, yes, please get the shepherd. So that's what we're doing when we're praying for each other. We're going to the shepherd on each other's behalf. And He loves His family. And He loves when His family is praying for each other and building each other up. Okay. And then we try not to use names of denominations or religions or belief systems. I mean, we can do that when we're at lunch. And it may come up to where it'll be appropriate, but my concern has always been that someone finally gets their Buddhist neighbor to come see what Christianity is all about, then somebody slams the Buddhists. You know, that wouldn't be good timing on that. But it's fine to say there is only one God. We should never worship more than one God. Always be very clear, speak truth. We're just going to try not to name names. And some people grew up in a denomination that you may just love, and they may have had a horrible experience, and I've had that happen before, where someone just went on and on about their denomination, not knowing that this woman had a horrible experience at a church that happened to be in that denomination. So all they're doing is setting off triggers the whole time. So we don't worry about that. We just want to talk about the Lord and His Word. Political differences, I tell you, this one, I brought this to the table back when it was a little more, you know, I don't know, we could all agree to disagree, and I'm telling you, it's not that way anymore. So we'll see how this one flies. We'll just try not to use Republican or Democrat. We know it's all messed up, so we'll just try not to talk about too much of that. And I always say pray for His will, and I always use this example when I was teaching one time. It was voting day for a tax I was going to vote against. It's a rare day I vote for a tax. That's just my personal thing. And someone came in and said, we need to pray that that passes. And all I'm thinking is I'm going and voting no. So I didn't say that. What I said was, let's pray for God's will. And of course, that's what we did. When you're studying, I like to treat Bible study like a treasure hunt, because that's really what it is. This is so full of treasure, so full of treasure, the greatest treasure on earth. And so when you're doing your lessons, just highlight or underline or make notes to try to remember. So when we go into discussion time, we'll remember. You know, if someone says, what'd you get on day 2? I can't remember what day 2 was. But if I look at my notes and kind of see what scriptures were in, that helps me. And with that said, here's the other thing that I'm going to do differently. One thing I love about when I'm writing, when I'm teaching, it is a challenge because I really practically cannot even go to lunch with friends. So I have to find 5 days in a week, and I have to be ahead, and it can take me, I never even know if I'm going to get a lesson done in a day. So I never know how long it's going to take. I heard Elizabeth Elliot say, I would rather clean a bathroom than write a book. And I knew exactly what she meant. She said, when I clean a bathroom, I know what to do, and I know how long it's going to take and what the outcome's going to be. But when you go to write, if the Lord's not moving, I'm not writing. You know, I'm not going to make stuff up and just do it. So with that said, I don't have 5 lessons written. And so you would think by now I'd have half the study written, and normally I might, but this is going to be interesting, and I'm just going to flow with it. I'm not going to panic. I'm going to see what the Lord has planned. And so it could be, I do want to write the lessons because this will be the next study that we'll publish, Lord willing. But it could be that 1 week we'll have two lessons, or 1 week we'll have one lesson. And that's okay. We'll stay camped out in those verses. And with a group, I'm already looking out here going, this is going to be good because we're going to get to dive deep. So that is my plan. And hey, maybe 1 week I'll have five lessons. We'll see about that. But so this week, all you have is the introduction, which is important. Please read the introduction. Some of it is repetition from part one. So that'll just, a lot of you will remember that. And then the rest of it kind of, it ties into now what we're doing in this part of Exodus as we move forward. So then we, speaking, I just always say, if we are a prayer request, make sure, if it's about someone else, make sure you have their permission. And if you're speaking, when you're going to share in discussion, just, you know, we want to be sure that it's edifying. What I do is if I start, I'm sharing something I'm so excited about, I can't wait to share it. I think it's just the greatest gem I have all day. And sometimes I'll get a check, almost like the Lord's saying, just don't talk. And so I've learned it's better to wait for whatever reason, and I can always say it later. You know, maybe it's just me, maybe it's not, but we can always say it later. So I'm not worried about that in this group. I still do these every time. Honestly, I'm looking at this group going, okay, we can skip the guidelines, but I'm going to do them just so if I stop doing them, then suddenly I do them, someone's going to think it's because they're in the group, and it's not. Everyone in here doesn't need these guidelines. Then protect our time and purpose. Obviously, we're here to study God's word, and he has given me a conviction not to turn it into anything else. There is nothing wrong. My goodness, if we wanted to have a quilting bee club and we got together, my mom does a knitting group with other Christian women, and they have the best time fellowshipping. They pray for each other, but it's a knitting group. They don't call it a Bible study. So this is a Bible study, and we'll keep it at that. And Kelly, if you bring your knitting and want to pull it out, you're welcome to do that. Okay, Zane, I think we're ready for the next one. Always let me know if there's a problem, and if it's something you think is going to hurt my feelings and you can't bring yourself to do it, go to Elise, and she'll tell me gently, and that'll be fine. The example I use is when I was in someone's home, and a woman behind in the group behind the sofa, she wouldn't stop talking, which I didn't even notice, and a woman came to me and said, I can't hear anything you're saying because so-and-so won't stop talking. And that, so we were able to deal with that without hurting anyone's feelings or anything, and I'm glad she didn't just leave and say, that group's out of control. So always let me know if there's a problem. And then we say what's said in here stays in here, and with a group this size, that's going to be more viable. But share absolutely cannot be said in public. You may want to just take one or two of us and share. We can all be the judge of that. Okay, Zane. We've already said treat it as a treasure hunt. And then before I study, I like to ask him for a hunger for his word. And he has yet to fail me on that, because it is not in the human condition to be hungry for God's word. We're a bunch of rebels. We rebelled against it. We're sinners. That is not in our nature. The old man has no interest in it whatsoever. It's the new man when we come to Christ that is hungry for God's word. And so we want to ask him to stir us up in our faith and stir us up in our love for him, stir us up as the new creatures that we are to be hungry for his word. Okay. And then it will, in fact, I thought there's someone I thought was going to be here tonight, and maybe she'll be here next week. But I have a thought on what we might do maybe as a group. I'm going to wait and see if that's even a thing. But if you have something you think the group might be interested in, don't hesitate to let me know. I like to present as many opportunities as come our way, but with the remembrance that we are not supposed to be doing everything that comes our way. You know, if someone may share something, I want everyone to get behind this certain, you know, thing that the Lord is doing. And it may sound wonderful, but the Lord may not want you involved. He's got you doing other things. So, you know, never feel pressured if we bring an opportunity to you. Okay? And, all right. Now's the good stuff. Okay. So our study theme, And this will be in your, well, you know, yeah, it'll be in your introduction. God doesn't rescue us just to get us out of a bad situation. He rescues us for more intimacy with Him. And this happened, you know, the first part of Exodus, the title came from before I knew, and I think everyone in here knows I went through a divorce that is pretty recent. And so my world is like upside down from what I thought it would be right now. But God has been so gracious. He's just been unbelievably beyond faithful and kind and gracious to me. So with that said, before I knew what I was dealing with, I was just out. I knew some things, something had been exposed, but I didn't know how bad it was. And so I was walking one day and I felt like the Lord said, what went through my mind was, you need to thank me that I've you need to thank me for rescuing you. And I felt like it was the Lord. And I said, Lord, thank you for rescuing me. But at the same time, I thought, what am I dealing with if this is a rescue? So the Lord took me through the months of trauma of trying to get to the truth. The Lord took me through Exodus and taught me about my rescue and taught me about Himself and really showed me some things that helped to comfort me and help me during a time of just feeling fight or flight constantly. And so during the night, still not knowing everything, but knowing a lot more. And I will say early on what went through my mind, even before the rescue thing was, and this was when I did not have this on my radar. What went through my mind was I divorced Israel for her good. And I said, Lord, divorce? Are we talking divorce? Like, I don't even know what's in whose name. And because I thought I was growing old with my college sweetheart, you know, I had none of this on my radar. So I knew the Lord, and I'm so thankful He did that because as time went on, I knew to cut off. As I've said, the way I felt like He worded it was, don't reconcile with a dead body. Cut off the dead body. And when I think of I did it for her good, I still pray for him. He's gone darker and darker once exposed, but I pray for him because I think, Lord, you said for her good. Could it be this divorce is for his good? Could it be that he will look up before he sees you face to face? So pray with me on that. I do pray that for him. And God knows he's so good. But with that said, I woke up during the night after he had begun to teach me through Exodus and we can go ahead to the next verse. This popped in my mind. And what went through my mind, it's one of my favorite verses, but Exodus 25:8, it's also, I think, in one of the Exodus 35-ish maybe, but where he says, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst. So God has rescued them from Egypt. Now he's saying, now make me a tabernacle, a house, a place that I can dwell with you. And let me tell you, they had to do it exactly as he said, or this was not going to fly. And one reason it was important they do it exactly as he said, not only is he holy, it was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, who would be our way to truly have intimacy with him, not just, you know, giving a sacrifice this day and then coming in on this certain day. It's like 24/7, we have intimacy with the God of the universe because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what went through my mind was this verse, you know, and I'm waking up in the middle of the night, and I felt like what he was saying to me is, I don't rescue just to get you out of a bad situation. I rescue you for more intimacy. And that's what he did for them. That's what he does for us. You think back in things in life, maybe you really wanted to make the blah, blah team and you didn't make the team. And you're thinking, God, why wouldn't you let me make the team? You know, there are things that happen in our life. And if we knew, I bet God was protecting. I bet he was rescuing. I bet he was keeping you on track for the life he wanted you to have. And yeah, I have a sweet friend who she was just devastated when she didn't make cheerleading. She locked herself in her room for a day. And then that summer, while everyone else was going to cheerleading camp, she ended up going to the beach and met the man she married. So I love stories like that, you know, because when you're right now, that makes us want to roll our eyes. But when you're in high school and you don't make the baseball team or the whatever, you know, you're trying out for, that can feel devastating at the time. And we have some of those things still in adulthood that don't go the way we'd like them to. So I am so excited about our time together. And I'm going to be honest, I am just kind of, you can tell, flying by the seat of my pants. And I'm not good at that. I'm not great at a lot of things, but flying by the seat of my pants doesn't feel real comfortable. But I, at the same time, honestly, I've got to learn more and more just to surrender. And so we're not going to be lazy. We're going to be prayerful and see what He has planned. But I think, would you go ahead and flip it to the next one, Zane? Okay. See, normally you do a little different. Some of this is going to be the same, but of course we'll start our lessons. And see, normally you would have a lesson in front of you and I'd say, look at your lesson, but you don't have one, so you can't. But it's going to start with a praise verse. And then usually it'll have some words about reminding you to pray, and it will remind you to pray. But in there, I'm just going to leave the word settle in. We're going to have a praise verse, and then it's going to say settle in. And I want us to just use that time. I want us to know the love of Christ, because that's something I'm having to deal with. You know, there are days when things aren't going the way I want them to, and I'm like, you know, Lord, I know you love me, but do you like me? Like, you know, you just kind of feel like, why are things going the way they're going? And we know, oh, no one loves us more than Him. We're His bride. We're the bride of Christ. And He loves us so much. So everything He's allowing in our lives is for our good. I think it's been good for me to wake up in the morning and just settle into His love. So we'll have verses that'll hopefully help us to settle in there. And one reason is Ephesians tells us to know the love of Christ, that you may have the fullness of God. So we're talking here about intimacy with God. So we want to know, we're not going to have the fullness of God if we don't know assured the love of Christ. And that word know, you know, in the Old Testament, the word often used for know is yada. Y-A-D-A, I'm probably not saying it right. That's the Hebrew. And it means to know intimately. So even Adam knew Eve as yada. You know, that's pretty intimate. Because it was talking about the consummation of their marriage. It was talking about sexual intercourse. That's very intimate. Well, that's the same word God will use about knowing Him and about knowing us. And it's spiritual. And that's the other thing we're going to see. And it'll be in your introduction. But you've heard when Jesus spoke to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, He said to her, she's saying, well, you know, when the Messiah comes, are we going to, you know, do we worship like this or that? And He says, the time is coming, and it now is that believers will worship, and I'm not wording it right, so look it up to get the correct wording, but that we will worship the Lord in spirit and truth. We will worship God in spirit and truth. So we hear that. We know that. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, Lord, I want to know more about that. I want to know more about what You mean by worshiping You in spirit and truth. And I know what it means. But at the same time, I want to know what it means. I want to be truly worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. I want my worship to be real and genuine. I want it to be in truth. And I want my mind to be in truth so that I am worshiping from a place of knowing who He is and believing who He is, because the flood waters of delusion, you can see it, they're rising. And we've talked about this before. Revelation 12 talks about a flood that comes out of the dragon's mouth. It is, God said He would never again flood the world with water. That is not going to be what's going to bring the destruction. But there is a flood that comes out of the dragon's mouth. And we know what comes out of the dragon's mouth, Satan. It's lies. So we've got delusions, satanic deceit. And the scripture even talks about doctrines of demons. Some of this stuff people are believing, we're like, are you crazy? Like, because thank God He's given us a sound mind. But if we didn't have Him, we might be drinking the cup of delusion too. So that's why we do this humbly, going, God, I did not deserve to be spared from that. Thank You. So that's what you're seeing all around you, is this rising of the flood of delusion. And so I'm praying, and I know so many are, Lord, keep the delusion back that many may be saved. And just hold it back, Lord, and allow Your body to get with it and speak truth and understand what we're here for, and take all of this so seriously. So we will be the second, but we'll be, you know, making sure that we understand that the Lord loves us, because He wants us to know that. When I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I don't really feel like You're loving me, honestly, I will get so convicted, because I don't know what more you have to do. I mean, he is tortured and killed on a cross so I can be with him for all of eternity. What else do I want him to do to prove his love for me? So that's why it's so important to stay in the Word in prayer, because that's when we align our hearts and minds with him. Because our emotions are out here in crazy town going who knows where. And so we got to reel it in and be sure that we understand and know. So the other thing, we will do what we did in the last study, and that is to kind of run, we'll be running our life circumstances through a filter. You know, what is, instead of saying what's going on horrible in your life that you wish wasn't, you know, what would you like to whine about today? It'll be more, what is God doing to prune you? What is God doing in order to cause you to bear more fruit? And when we see these awful things that can happen in our lives, the Lord is saying, I'm going to trump that. You just watch more fruit be born for me through that. So that's where we want our hearts and minds to be aligned with him, so that we don't allow any sort of bitterness or hardness of heart to come to him through deception, through not seeing things as they truly are. We'll still have memory verses, and you may be glad to know that they're going to be the same memory verses as part one. So if you did part one, it'll be the same ones. It'll either be repetition, or you may be memorizing them for the first time anyway, you know, too. But because what I wanted to do is, you know how the Lord is always saying, remember, remember, remember. And there's already things, I'm speaking on the 23rd at Single Hearts 9th anniversary. And I am so excited. Even this, I'm like, Lord, when am I ever going to prepare for that? Well, on my walks, he has been just downloading some things. I get so excited. I can't wait to share it, which is why I almost started sharing it right now. And then I remember that's not the class you're in. That's not where you are. But I do want to say the memory verse, it is going to be on fruitfulness and rocks of remembrance. And so we want to remember. And so we're going to go back, and the memory verses from part one were from Exodus 15, where they're singing to the Lord about his triumph and all that he's done. And so we're going to stay there. We're just going to keep camping in that song of triumph, because that's what he's doing for us today, and that's what he did through Christ, and to keep us in remembrance of part one of Exodus. And then at the end of the lesson, we'll still have our thoughts from today. And that's what I do. If I'm studying, I feel like, you know, the Lord has really brought something to mind through this the lesson, or something jumped out at me from the text that, I don't know, it just seemed to really have an impact. That's where I write it down so I don't forget, and I can remember it the next week. Father, we just open this time up. Now, if you want to move on any of us to pray out loud, please do. We just want to commune with you, and we just praise you for your extravagant love. Father, we just have so much to praise you for, but even as I listen to Pat, just speaking to you about all you've done for her, just the phrase that what Jesus said, the truth will set you free. And so, Lord, you have been so patient with all of us and so gracious to stay with us, to help us understand truth so that we can come to a place of peace and joy and love and faithfulness in you. We just praise you for the fruit of the Holy Spirit and thank you that the Holy Spirit lives in us as your children through Christ. And I pray that we will take full advantage, Lord, that we will know the love of Christ, to have the fullness of you, which means we will just be filled and overflowing with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And Lord, we all know those are not things that bubble up from our old nature. They just don't, but they bubble up from you. So I pray less of us and more of you. And I pray that you'll just be with us, Lord. I can't wait to see what you have planned for this class. We just love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.